If you don't love it, delete it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on right beside me. Just how long the rest of us can count and be free. They live on milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the right side of me. Yeah, walking on the right side of me. Running down with life, if you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You run down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting and falling down the key. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. And you run down my country, man. You walking on the right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me, and that's the name of this program here on whiteresistanceradio.com or altwhitetv.com. You can reach us either way. And more news and views for our people, and of course those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, very good news late today, and or I should say this afternoon, but this was an announcement. The President of the United States is declaring Antifa a terrorist organization. It's long overdue. It is a terrorist organization. For a generation, they have tried to violently break up meetings, break up gatherings. They have used intimidation to try to accomplish these ends. So it's long overdue. They are an anarcho-communist organization. They have are often organized, usually show up masked. And they are a major cause of the riots that are violent riots that are tearing apart at least 15 major cities in the United States: New York, Phoenix, Los Angeles, Washington D.C., of course Minneapolis, Missouri, Chicago, and so on. They are a major component. They're not the only reason for the violence. There are, you know, plenty of black looters smashing windows and stealing, and they are a major component of the violence. This is something that they have been involved in, this sort of violence, always cowardly with wearing masks. For a good many years. Now, we tangled with them on numerous times in Canada, and I can only say that this is a brave move by the President of the United States, but certainly a very necessary one. Trump is suggesting even military action. The violence in some cities has gotten absolutely out of control. And, you know, it's important to note that that this violence is not, first of all, not all the people out protesting are violent. There would be a fair number black, and some whites are out there because they feel that an injustice was done to this Negro, who it was a career criminal, incidentally, who was arrested on Monday in Minneapolis, restrained with a knee pressed against his neck, and though he kept saying he was couldn't breathe, and eventually he died. Now, it's unfortunate, and while I don't think we have all the information, it may indeed be that the arrest, or the behavior of the arresting officer was improper. Anyway, he's been fired, and I didn't think that was fair, and he was fired practically on the spot. He did, you know, there wasn't a proper, due process where he would have a chance to state his side of the story, so to speak. But anyway, he was fired, so okay, that's pretty rough for him. And then he was on Friday charged with third degree murder and manslaughter. So you know, his actions, he will be held to account for his actions, and that's as it should be. You would think that at this point there'd be no reason to protest, but okay, I think blacks and anybody else is free to protest, you know, if they feel they've got an issue, but they're not free to riot. One of the things that is enabling this typical bad behavior by a faction of Negroes, and it's, you know, I say typical. Nothing new about this. Now, perhaps I have a longer memory than some of my listeners, because maybe I've been around a little longer. But back in the '60s, there were a lot of Negro riots, protests allegedly about civil rights, which turned into looting and burning and shooting and so on. They happened in Detroit in, I believe, 1967, again in 68, in many U.S. cities when Martin Luther King died, and they've happened on occasion since then. You know, if a black person is arrested, dies in custody, or dies, it's just an excuse to riot. Now, whether or not it's an excuse for a protest, that's a different matter. And I would argue anybody has the right to protest, to ladder up a sign, do up some pamphlets, and go to a public place and wave the sign and shout slogans and pass out the pamphlets, or get together with other people to do the same thing. I don't have a problem with that. You know, whether I think the cause is right or not, you've got a right to, you know, just say your piece. You do not have a right to riot. This has been the repeated behavior of a considerable faction of blacks. Now, some of that, I would argue, is a result of being enabled by white liberals and some leaders of their own community. Don Lemon is as much as saying that these riots are the only way to bring about change and what he would call justice. He's not just some street corner radical. He is a big shot with his own program on CNN. In fact, I watch CNN quite a bit, not because I expect I'm going to get the truth from him, but one has to be aware. And CNN is nonstop apology for blacks and even black violence. Whites have said, well, liberals, white liberals have consistently alibi are excused black violence. Well, it's racism. It's because of racism. There's no it's because of. There's no it's because of the justify smashing a plate glass window in a store and walking out with armloads of goods that don't belong to you. That's not race. That's not a response to racism or to any cause. It's just plain lawlessness. But we have had, at least in my experience, and it could well go back longer, farther, but 50 years or more, I'm actually going back to the civil rights movement, you know, almost 75 years, of left-wing establishment alibying and excusing black misbehavior. They give them, instead of saying, look, get with the agenda and behave properly. Or behave civilized if you want to be provocative. No, well, you know, they deserve a special understanding because of racism, and they will take a fact and suggest that there is something wrong about the situation. I'll give you an example. Blacks are incarcerated. In numbers wildly out of proportion to their share of the population. Well, and that's a fact, no doubt about that. And so left-wing politicians will say, see, it's racism. How is it racism? Well, if you adopt the brainless cultural Marxist view of the world, and that is that all people are equal, and therefore all results will be equal. But anytime the results are not equal, it must be an example of racism, whether it's deliberately thought out racism or what they call systemic racism. It doesn't matter. Well, that just doesn't correspond with reality. Blacks are in prison in numbers disproportionate to their share of the population because? Well, because they commit more crimes. The color of crime in the United States, if by that color of violent crime, is overwhelmingly black. They commit disproportionately more murders, more assaults, more armed robberies, and more rapes than whites. And when you talk about interracial crime, that is, black crime on whites or white crime on blacks, there's virtually no white violent crime on blacks. There'd be a small amount, but there's a lot of black crime, rape and robbery and murder on whites. Well, here's a very trenchant commentary by Tucker Carlson, and it says, our leaders have sided with the agents of chaos. We're told crimes of the mob are our fault. And you see, that's what I call enabling. Instead of saying to blacks, look, you've got a right to protest, you've got a right to have a march or a parade or, a protest, but you do not have the right to loot. And there's no excuse. You know, whatever your cause might be, whatever we might think of it, you have a right to protest. You do not have a right to loot. Well, once you start making excuses for them, it allows the weak-minded or the less moral, it gives them some degree of justification to go and do exactly that. Now, I don't know why I'm getting that echo. Try that again. And this is Tucker Carlson. Now,
remarkable scenes of violence and destruction and chaos from across the country. We're going to spend much of the hour keeping you abreast of what's happening. But before we dive into that, we want to focus on one single thing that happened last night. a police station in a major American city was occupied and looted and burned. Most of us assumed we would never live to see something like that happen here, but it did happen. So the question is, has anyone been arrested for doing that? Will anyone ever be arrested? No one in authority seems especially interested in apprehending who did it. All of it happened on camera, but the perpetrators just walked away. And it's possible, maybe likely, that most of them will never be punished for it. That's striking. It's a very different experience from the one most Americans have living here. As Minneapolis burns and crowds grow in the streets of Atlanta and many other cities, the rest of us are continuing on as we always do, dutifully following the rules. There are many of those. Every year there seems to be countless new rules to follow. They multiply like insects. We do our best to keep up. We get our permits, apply for our licenses, put on our reading glasses, and check the latest regulations on the internet. We wear our little masks. We keep our dogs on leashes, we drive sober, we don't eat on the subway, we never litter, we make orderly lines and patiently wait our turn. In airports and government buildings, we remove our shoes and submit to body searches from strangers. We lose our dignity every time we do this, but they tell us we must, so we accept it without complaint. In public, we hide what we really think. We bury our natural instincts, we keep our deepest beliefs to ourselves. We know the boundaries. We understand we will be punished for telling the truth. This is the America the rest of us live in. For the privilege of citizenship in a country like this, we work as hard as we can. We never stop sharing what we earn with others. We send money we would rather give to our own children to politicians in faraway cities. With that money, they make new rules. We follow those rules to the letter. That's what we were told to do as children. That's the deal we've struck. At least we thought it was. Now we know that other people have somehow negotiated a far better deal than the one we have. They get to ignore the rules. They don't believe in order or fairness. They reject society itself. Reason and process and precedent mean nothing to them. They use violence to get what they want immediately. People like this don't bother to work. They don't volunteer or pay taxes to help other people. They live for themselves. They do exactly what they feel like doing. They say exactly what they feel like saying. They spray paint their opinions on buildings. On television, hour by hour, we watch these people, criminal mobs, destroy what the rest of us have built. They have no right to do that. They don't contribute to the common good. They never have. Yet suddenly they seem to have all the power. This is hardly the first time something like this has happened in America. Spasms of destructive violence are a recurring feature of our history. Effective every country's history. The ideologues will tell you that the problem is race relations or capitalism or police brutality or global warming, but only on the surface. The real cause is deeper than that, and it's far darker. What you're watching is the ancient battle between those who have a stake in society and would like to preserve it, and those who don't and seek to destroy it. Underneath it all, this violence doesn't have that much to do with the behavior of the Minneapolis Police Department. For evidence, watch this tape. It's from the 1992 riots in Los Angeles. It was shot almost 30 years ago. It could have been shot this afternoon.
That's not right! It's not right! It's not right what y'all doing!
This is a black man who's protesting other blacks who have destroyed his business. I come from the ghetto too. You're destroying my business. Why are you destroying my truck?
The first thing you notice about that video, in addition to how overwhelmingly sad it is that it's not a racial dispute. The elderly man could be the grandfather of the young rioters swarming around him. But that's misleading. They are nothing at all alike. The old man is fighting to defend civilization. He's armed only with a hammer, but he's trying. The young men are working to tear it down. And those are the battle lines. They always are. Which side in that war have our leaders taken? Well, watch carefully. It will become obvious. The rioters in Minneapolis and in other places act as if they're allowed to loot and burn. And in fact, they are allowed. No one stops them. The authorities don't arrest them. Instead, they pander to them, flatter them, desperately try to win their love. Why are masked lunatics setting fire to Wendy's? Because the rest of us are sinful. That's what our leaders tell us. The crimes of the mob are the punishment we deserve. That's their argument. And many seem to buy it. On a White House executive staff call just this morning, key domestic policy advisors Brooke Rollins and Jerron Smith argued that it might seem racist to say anything about the rioting in Minneapolis. Better just to let it happen. So that's what they're doing. We should have seen this coming. When you express an opinion our leaders don't like, they call it violence. When criminals commit actual acts of violence, they call it speech. So the game is rigged. Why are the rest of us still playing it? We have more power than we think we do. Our system only functions because dutiful, normal people, people with self-control and decency and above all, a sense of responsibility toward others, created our system. They sustain the system. They pay the bills. None of the thugs looting Target or the well-paid nihilists on television who are egging them on have added a thing. Nothing. Yet all of the destroyers expect that this arrangement will last forever. And you can see why, because for them, it's been a very good deal. But what exactly are you getting in return for your contributions to the system? The authorities clearly don't care about you. The police won't show up to save your life, literally. During election years, sweaty politicians claim to be on your side. It's a lie. They're not. They'll waste your time with hollow posturing. They'll feed you pointless symbolic victories and expect you to celebrate like you've actually won something. But when the mob comes, they're gone. You're on your own. That's true. Those are the facts. We can't change them. All we can control is our own behavior. Should you keep playing along with all of that? Ponder that the next time they demand you get a permit to put a deck on your own house. And think about it even harder the next time you write a tax check.
That's an excellent commentary by Tucker Carlson. Excuse me. No, it's not the coronavirus. What the Minneapolis riots mean, and this is a very important and excellent thought piece by a good friend of mine, Jared Taylor, who formed American Renaissance 25 years ago. They have an annual conference, I guess not this year. They're bringing together some of the best racial scholars from across North America and Europe. I've been a speaker there. A speaker who's spoken at every single American Renaissance was a good friend, the lawyer Sam Dixon. So many great people, present and past, have spoken there. So it's a major gathering place, for what I think Jared has called race realists. Now, of course, the Antifa, which have tried on a number of occasions to prevent the conferences, and in one year actually succeeded in canceling four venues, they would, of course, call us racists. But, you know, racist is really a judgment word, as I've mentioned many times before, but I think it's well worth remembering. It was made up by Lev Davidovich Bronstein. I'm sure everybody remembers who Lev was. Lev was otherwise known as Leon Trotsky, a Jewish psychopath, communist, violent revolutionary. And in the 1920s and 30s, a big dispute welled up within the communist movement in Russia. And loosely, it pitted those who wanted, I won't call them nationalists actually, but they wanted to basically to build communism in Russia. That was their prime goal. And then there were the internationalists like Trotsky, who wanted to spread the first goal ought to be to spread the revolution worldwide. He thought in terms of a worldwide revolution, I guess true to the ideals of Marx, you know, world workers of the world unite. Very, very interesting prescription from a man who never worked. I'm talking here of Marx. Marx was basically a parasite off his rich friends. Anyway, so a term of, you know, abuse, as I say, a judgment term. dreamt up by Lev Davidovich Bronstein, otherwise known as Trotsky, was racist. So he called his opponents within the communist movement, those were, and I hate to use the term nationalists, but well, let's say we're more interested in building up communism in Russia than in spreading the bad word worldwide. So in that very limited sense, you might say nationalists. Trotsky called those people racists. And that term has been adopted in the West, meaning, it's very fluid in its meaning. It means, well, if you recognize race in any way that the speaker does not like, then you're a racist. If you say, it doesn't seem as though third worlders in general would be a good match in large numbers for Canada. Wouldn't it be better if we have people who are more like ourselves? Why, that's, you're a racist. It doesn't have anything to do with hating anybody. Although many people, when they hear the term, think, oh, that person who's called a racist must be a hater. He hates everybody. Hates people that are racist. It's not necessarily true. In fact, most of the time, it's not true. It's a judgment word. Okay, that's a long way around getting back to what Jared Taylor is. I'm not going to say what the Antifa might say he is, or the Jewish lobby might say he is, but what he says he is, and he says he's a race realist, and I am too. Anyway, these are his views on what the Minneapolis riots mean. And this is... Jared Taylor of American Renaissance explains they are part of a problem that cannot be solved by yet more concessions. The only solution, and this is his headline, is disengagement. There's been a third night of rioting in Minneapolis because of the death of George Floyd at the hands of police. And there's also been anti-police rioting in half a dozen other cities. Now, this was written, I believe... on Friday, yeah. So two more nights have gone by, and it's not half a dozen other cities. It's now, I think, very close to 20, and we're talking major cities. Rioting and looting and destruction of property, burning of police vehicles, and so on. So it is spread into many cities across the United States. The authorities in worst-hit Minneapolis have capitulated miserably in the face of lawlessness. That will guarantee more lawlessness. That is what multiracialism means for America. We are a country constantly on the brink of racial chaos. No one yet knows the extent of the destruction in Minneapolis. Dozens of stores have been looted and burned. At least five rioters were shot by other rioters. Yeah, I do find this rich. By other rioters, not the police. One of the buildings rioters burned was affordable housing under construction. It burned spectacularly, collapsed, and set fire to an entire city block. You know, I laugh because something similar happened in the Negro riots in Baltimore. I'm going to say about 5 years ago. And one of the things they did was they burned major supermarkets in their own area. And they burned a shelter for homeless blacks. Your head spins. Well, what's the reason for this? Well, there is no reason. This is an irrational beast. And the only way that this is me speaking, not Jared, but these may be his views, they may not be, but the only way to control a mad beast is by superior force. In the case of rioters, and POTUS, Donald Trump has it exactly right. When you start looting, we start shooting. This madness could be stopped fast. Now it has to be stopped with some bloodshed. Not that there isn't bloodshed already, of course. I believe a policeman was killed last night, many police have been injured. It's not as though the choice is between violence and nonviolence. The choice is between perhaps overwhelming force right now, and then there'd be very little further violence. Or do we let it linger? And it'll be a policeman here, a policeman there, a citizen there, Anyway, back to Jared. It is infuriating to see this kind of mayhem go unpunished. But the worst act of capitulation was the Minneapolis mayor's decision to withdraw the police from the 3rd Precinct and let the rioters burn the place down. That's government property. We used to have a concept called stewardship. It's a religious concept. That we are stewards of God's creation. Not the masters, exactly. Master implies do whatever you want, because you're in charge. Steward means you're the manager, but you answer to a higher power. Like if you're a steward in a business, you answer to the owner or the boss. It has a narrow meaning, but if you're a wine steward, you are in charge of the wine. You are that's your specialty. But you operate within parameters set by the institution. Anyway, in the broader sense, our politicians are stewards of the public treasury. They have certain powers. They have the power to tax. They have certain powers to make laws and regulations that bind us. But they are responsible, or they should be responsible to us. This is my digression again. But I read that line that Jared wrote, and I was furious, as he was. Not Jared, of course, but Jared says, the worst act of capitulation was the Minneapolis' mayor's decision to withdraw the police from the 3rd Precinct and let the rioters burn the place down. There it is, going up in flames while the crowd cheers. He failed in his stewardship. Part of his job as mayor is to take proper care of city property, part of which would be the 3rd Precinct Police Station. That's not taking care of it. It would be like, as a farmer, permitting unruly neighbor's kids to burn down his barn with the cows in it. Such a decision would seem incomprehensible. And it would be incomprehensible. Part of his job as a steward of his property, the family property, is to preserve and protect it as best he can. To let others destroy it would, be unthinkable. Well, it would be unthinkable, but not for these politicians. Mayor Jacob Frey explained that he had ordered the police to run away because, in his words, the symbolism of a building cannot outweigh the importance of life. In other words, some rioters might have been hurt if the police had defended the building. No, wait a sec. Exactly. But it would be on them, would it not? If you're a rioter and you're trying to smash your way into a building or break the windows or light it on fire, that's your aggression. If your aggression is answered with force, it's not on the person who answers it with force, it's on you. This is the muddle, and there may be stronger words for it beginning with F. The muddled, absolutely fucked up thinking. Doesn't Mayor Frey, asks Jared Taylor, doesn't Mayor Frey understand the symbolism of letting a mob burn down a police station. What an admission of impotence. The police must have been cursing their mayor as they abandoned their building to the mob. And again, if I may digress again, the sign of signaling of impotence only emboldens the thugs more. I mean, if they can see, well, nothing happened. And in fact, basically, they conceded the ground to us. They made the police run away. Well, what's the logical conclusion for that? Well, as they said in the 1960s, burn, baby, burn. Rioters have got hold of several U.S. Postal Service delivery vans and burned one in the middle of the street right in front of the police precinct. And while the building burned, the city tweeted out a warning to the arsonists. The gas lines in the building might have been cut. There could be explosions, so please be careful when you burn the place down. Couldn't have the little darlings get hurt, could we? When Minnesota Governor Tim Walz called out the National Guard, he took the same kid glove approach. Unfortunately, some individuals have engaged in unlawful and dangerous activity, he said. Oh dear, says Jared. St. Paul, right next door, was spared on Tuesday and Wednesday, but not on Thursday night. Police reported more than 170 buildings damaged or looted. There were dozens of fires like the ones at the Walmart. Some just had to burn out of control because rioters made it too dangerous to fight the fires. Amazingly, this is Jared Taylor saying, I have heard practically no arrests in the Twin Cities. This is complete victory for the rabble. Lawlessness spread across the country. There were riots in New York City, but at least 72 people were arrested, four of them for attacking police officers. In Denver, the state capitol building was locked down when someone in a crowd of demonstrators started shooting. In Ohio, Negroes broke windows and rampaged through the state house before police got things under control. Imagine if they'd had time to burn the place. In Louisville, Kentucky, about 600 Negroes rioted against police and seven people were shot by other rioters. They should have been shot by the police. The crowd damaged dozens of buildings and vehicles. Black Councilwoman Keisha Dorsey explained, it's not a riot. It's a revolt against a system in which people have felt oppressed. Oh, I see. Well, okay. To prevent violent revolution, we have a system called democracy, where we elect our leaders. Now, if this is the game she wants to play, then surely the rest of us have the right to crush this with whatever force is necessary. And that's exactly what they think, says Jared. All this destruction and violence isn't about justice for George Floyd. It does seem that Officer Derek Chauvin, who put a knee on Floyd's neck, probably did kill him, but he's not going to get off. So what do the protesters want? All four officers fired? They've been fired, and Officer Chauvin has been arrested. Do they want indictments for murder? They'll get them. Do they want a federal investigation? The feds say it's top priority. Do they want a black police chief? They've already got one by the name of Madaria Arundondo. We need more. If we had more black officers, the Negroes wouldn't riot. Nothing to do with that. Rioters have mixed motives. At one level, this is just what blacks do when there are enough of them in one place and the police pull back. Burning down low-income housing and looting a Walmart aren't justice for Floyd. It's the pure thrill of destruction and the joy of stealing. But this goes deeper. As this Negro woman explains honestly, you all should be shocked that we didn't burn this country to the ground after Trayvon Martin. If we really wanted revenge, this hellhole would be dust. And this guy says he's burning down Minneapolis for his ancestors. We have plenty more structures that need burning. We built this country and we'll burn it down. The dogs need to answer to their masters. The dogs, that's white people. That's a slang term for the white man. You can see the delusional arrogance. We built this country. Negroes didn't build this country. America didn't build Canada. They had a role of as agricultural workers. They did not build it. But this is some of the delusion and insanity that has been jammed into their heads by erroneously called black studies and so on. When you pillage police stations, burn post office vans, storm a state capitol, that is insurrection against America and hatred of the people who did build it. White Americans have been doing their best to be more than fair to blacks. We've been doing this for 60 years, but millions of blacks truly believe that they live under a white supremacist regime that constantly oppresses and casually murders them. Dishonest media fan the flames of hatred and excuse the violence that they themselves are provoking. Now, I might also add to that the laughable notion that Canada or the United States is a white supremacist regime. I heard that endlessly yesterday. Well, white supremacy rules America. Does it really? That gives special privileges through affirmative action to blacks and other minorities? That endlessly that creates nonsensical things like Black History Month and black this and black that? No, if anything, we are ruled by a class of people who in many cases are actively anti-white. No, not the very opposite of white supremacists, in fact, who believe in the ultimate demise of the white race. In fact, they actively want that. But anyway, some believe that they're ruled by white supremacy. Conventional thinking can't solve this problem because the problem is multiracialism itself. The solution is to give blacks what they want. If they think there are no good cops, pull the police out of their neighborhoods. If they decide they need police after all, let them train their own security. If they think they built America, let them show us what they can do, starting with their own neighborhoods. Yeah, build back the ghetto. The only way out is disengagement. Decade after decade of white guilt and preferences for blacks only increase black resentment. This caretaker relationship between the races is condescending to the blacks and unsustainable for the whites. It's got to end. Blacks need to be truly free, and so do we. A really interesting thought piece by Jared Taylor. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side. We're going to take my musical break now, and another boy from the South, from North Carolina, Randy Travis, great, great singing voice, and hope you enjoy this. This is Randy Travis. This is Paul Fromm. And you're on the fighting side of me here on AltRightTV.com.
You may think that I'm talking foolish. You've heard that I'm wild and I'm free. You may wonder how I can promise you now. Love that I feel for you always will be. You're not just time that I'm killing. I'm no longer one of those guys. As sure as I live, this love that I give is gonna be yours until the day that I die. happening to me. I've already forgotten every woman but you. Oh darling, I'm gonna love you forever, forever and ever, amen. As long as old men sit and talk about the weather, as long as old women sit and talk about old men. If you wonder how long I'll be faithful, just listen to how this song ends. I'm gonna love you forever and ever, forever and ever, amen. I'm gonna love you forever and ever, forever and ever.
There's no place like
the whole thing through. And now it's clear that she is what I should have held on to. They say hindsight's 20/20, but I'm nearly going blind from staring at her photograph and wishing she was mine. It's that same old lost love story. It's sad, but it's true. There was a time when she was mine.
Graceful that they drink. Randy Travis, Better Class a Loser, and some other songs. This is Paul Fromm, you're on the fighting side of me. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. So this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on altrighttv.com or whiteresistanceradio.com.
The days of yore from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Our fair dominion now extends from Cape Race to Nootka Sound. May peace forever be our lot and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours which discord cannot sever, and flourish green o'er freedom's home, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever.